Hello, and welcome to the Green Tea Party, where we discuss conservative solutions to environmental problems. I'm Zach Torpy.
And I'm Katie Zakreski. Together, we'll guide you through complex issues and provide strategies to address them, all while remaining faithful to our conservative values.
Trust me, it'll be a good time.
Yeah, it's a party, so grab your mugs and we'll pour the tea. Well, Zach, I forget that not everybody lives in the southeastern United States, but if you're in Arkansas or anywhere around it, you already know that the most important thing happening since Jesus rising from the dead on Easter is the solar eclipse. But yeah, solar eclipse, we're in the path of totality. About a week before the eclipse, the week before the eclipse, we've already had like crazy traffic today. I've got like the little local traffic app and the local police app, and bad boy has been buzzing with traffic collisions all day long, and it's all like out of state folks. So they're here, they're upon us, the locust swarm. No, but in all seriousness, I got a couple eclipse tattoos to commemorate.
Oh.
One looks like a little lunar moth, like it's like a moth, but like on its wings are like an eclipse pattern.
No, that's cool.
Yeah, and then I got a cow jumping over the moon, but the moon is the eclipse. So, yeah, and I mean, somebody the other day was like, this is so crazy, everybody talking about the eclipse, it's like the end of the world. And I was like, let's be honest, even if it was, I'd probably get a tattoo to commemorate it. So, for all the tattoos that you and Hannah don't get, Zach, I have all three of us covered, and our producers and several of our listeners. So, yeah, solar eclipse.
We won't get another one for 20 years.
Yeah, I read that. And the last time that Arkansas was in the path, the totality path, was 1918. And somebody I was talking to the other day was like, yeah, I read somewhere where every time there's a full eclipse, it's when the country is in a time of hardship and strife. And I was like, well, we should be having one every other week at that rate.
Mm-hmm. Well, your country's been in a bit of strife for the past, like, 15-20 years.
That eclipse is about 6-7 years late. Maybe more. But maybe 50. We'll start with the Vietnam War and work our way up.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so very interesting things. And speaking of bad and good news, I was trying to come up with a topic for today's show, and then I realized, oh yeah, I'm having a hard time picking a topic because there's like 4,000 pieces of climate news right now, and I'm having a hard time picking which one. So I figured, okay, we'll just talk about all the things that are on my radar, and some are bad, and when they're bad, they're really bad. But fortunately, there's also plenty of good going on, and when it's good, it's really good. But, Zach, whenever somebody asks you, I have good news and bad news, what do you want first? What do you say?
I always want the bad news first.
That's exactly how I operate because I want to end on a good note. Listeners, get comfortable. Grab your favorite plushie, maybe a light snack. Some of this is not going to be smooth sailing here in this early part, but I'm not going to leave you hanging on a bad note. So I'm going to talk a little bit through some of the not so great environmental news, and then I'm going to end you with some of the positive environmental news because I want you to know that there's a lot that you can do in the climate realm, but the more educated you are about good and bad, the better difference you can make because you're able to discern facts and determine for yourself where you're most needed. So I'm going to take it from the top. We'll just work through all these things that are on my climate dashboard, and Zach and I will chat a little bit about each one, and feel free to talk to us on Twitter and let us know what you're thinking about some of this climate news, and who knows how this will progress within the next few weeks and months. So this might be something worth revisiting at some point. But the first thing that's at the top of my list is that Speaker Mike Johnson has made a move in favor of fossil fuels. A recent New York Times article explained that House Speaker Rep. Mike Johnson is countering Biden's attempts to provide aid to Ukraine by bolstering fossil fuels. So this article says, Speaker Johnson's terms may include tying the aid for Kyiv to a measure that would force President Biden to reverse a moratorium on new permits for liquefied natural gas export facilities, which is something that Republicans would see as a political victory against the Democratic president's climate agenda.
I really just don't see the point of this. I'm a very big geopolitical person, and I'm a little more hawkish than I guess some of my other libertarian tendencies. yeah, I believe support for Ukraine is very important, and I am not a fan of it getting tied to all these things. And they tried to tie it to immigration, and the Republicans shot that down. They're just trying to find ways to not pass the Ukraine aid by tying it to things Democrats won't vote for. And if they will, the Republicans will be like, "Yeah, we'll tie it to something else. We don't like that deal, actually."
Well, is this not the ultimate irony in that we don't want to help Ukraine, who is, by the way, vulnerable to Russia because Russia controls their oil and gas? So let's hurry up and start more oil and gas exports and things of that nature over here. Let's really double down on the thing that makes Ukraine and several other European states rather vulnerable and really hype that up ourselves. Like, man, we couldn't have like solar panels or something. Like, come on. Back to the old reliable.
And I would need to double check this, but I'm pretty sure that there are plenty of open permits for future development. They're just not granting new ones because so many have not been like fulfilled yet. Because
I'm pretty sure you're right on that. Yeah. And so it's literally just the old reliable, going back to the well, in this case, the oil well of something that Republicans have relied on in the past politically. It's just like, it almost feels like, I don't even know how to word this. It's like Republicans are looking for something safe and familiar. And so far right Republicans are like, oil, gas, fossil fuels. That's comforting. Like, calm down, bro. Like, come on, let's get a move on.
I mean, this is one of the most complicated and unstable Congresses I've ever seen. Just the way that like Mike Johnson's like hanging on by a thread, and like one person could call for a new vote for a new leader. It makes him very vulnerable and very open to the MAGA side of the Republican Party just throwing a wrench in any plan, just running the government at any point.
Exactly.
Then they could just be like, nope. We're going to shut it down.
Well, they just recently delayed a shutdown. And I think you had, who was it? Marjorie Taylor Greene. Is that her name? I can never, it's MTG, but I don't like saying that because Magic the Gathering and my boyfriend, but whatever. But she had like mentioned after, I forgot what it was. Shame on me for not knowing. But after a recent event, I don't know if it was like avoiding the government shutdown, she proposed that they like kick Rep Johnson out as speaker. And this is the same guy who, the moment he was elected, a lot of eco-Republicans were like, oh dear, oh no.
Yeah.
This guy is like, if you look up fossil fuels in the dictionary, you're going to get this guy's picture. So it's a little bit of a hairy situation to be in, which, I mean, here's the thing for me. If you're going to be like, okay, we don't need to give aid to Ukraine because that's financially savvy. Okay, we can talk about the morality of that move, but why would you then counter with an investment in something that we're going to be out of in 20 years? What a bozo move. It's just bozo no matter how you look at it, man. It's clear that it was just a complete like favor grab for a lot of Republicans. That's all it was.
I don't know what the current Republican Party policy is on many or any positions. They seem to just like go with the flow, and if Democrats support something, they just move away from it.
Yeah.
Like, well, we need to have a solid stake position and hold to like our values instead of just being shifty and altering.
So much of political platforms these days is, I'm not my opponent. That's my platform. And I mean, we see Republicans do this every single time an aid package comes up for a vote or something like that. Like, they're the most pro-life people in the room when it comes to ending abortion, but then you go to send aid to a country that's being wiped off the map by the 21st equivalent of Hitler, and they're like, nah, man, no, our economy, I don't know, like, we got to do something for the economy. Let's invest in a resource that we're going to run out of here in 20 years. Like, really? That's the move? That's how we want to go into election year? Oh my god.
It's also interesting because the U.S. is asking Ukraine to not hit so many of Russia's oil producing facilities because it's going to hurt, it's going to raise inflation and raise gas prices in the U.S. And we're like, oh, we don't really want that. If we're going to feel pain, we don't really want to be involved.
Yeah, we'd rather spare a totalitarian state so that we don't feel bad instead of using innovation and capitalism to invest in a new avenue. Please don't cripple your opponent so that we can keep using oil and gas. That's how goofy y'all sound right now. Knock that off. So anywho, I could go on and on about this, so I'm gonna move on to the next thing, which is gonna make me just as angry, which is bipartisan disapproval of a United States carbon tax. Politico reported at the end of March that the House voted on a non-binding resolution to disapprove of a carbon tax, which was essentially just kind of like a messaging measure. It's the equivalent of, from what I've been able to deduce, for any of you Model UN or Model Arab League folks out there, of taking a straw poll vote before you write a resolution to see where everybody stands in the room on a certain topic. So it came at something of a critical moment for bipartisan lawmakers looking to tie trade policies to climate action. And it was a 222 against versus 186 for vote, which showed the extent to which the concept of putting a carbon price intensity on U.S. goods and services remains really politically toxic, not only for Republicans who have traditionally, you know, been in favor of not having taxes and things of that nature, as well as a lot of Democrats in swing districts and tough election fights who ended up siding with Republicans to lay a firm no on this. And I think part of that has to do, I think any other year this could have gone a different way, but I think the two biggest factors that led to this were everybody seeing the total and complete hoopla happening in Canada. And for whatever it's worth, y'all can go run the tape back. I said this like 6 months ago, that the way that they bungled this in Canada was going to impact how everybody else acted about it. And I'll be damned if that's not exactly what I think is happening right now. So I think, firstly, the way that Justin Trudeau fumbles the bag every other week when it comes to anything good in Canada, as well as the fact that we're 6 months away from an election, which is just like 2020 part two electric boogaloo. I think any other year, this disapproval would not have been even closely passed. Now that I say that, it might have been close, but I really don't think that the political momentum would have been there for it to go the way that it did. So I think that a combination of those things created the situation that we're in right now. Zach, what are your thoughts?
I think this just continues to show the divergence of politicians from public, because the public generally polled throughout the years has been relatively supportive of a carbon fee and dividend or a carbon
tax. And I mean, and who wouldn't be? You're getting a check. You're getting a monthly check that comes from punishing people who are doing bad things. Yeah.
It's like 67% of Americans support it, like 55% of Republicans traditionally. Somehow the politicians are like, oh no, we can't do this.
And well, nobody wants this. Like, okay.
and you know, the oil lobby is very powerful and is probably up there. They were up there the weeks before, probably greasing palms and slicking hair and just like getting everything they want. And politicians are like, oh, you're going to fund my campaign? Yeah. What do you want?
Pretty much. Yeah. And then like you get your campaign funded so you can lose. Like, daggum, like, because if that statistic you just shared, Zach, 67%, I think you said, dude, do y'all want to get reelected or not? I'm no good at math. My background is not math. I'll leave the math to you science folks. Last I checked, 67% is a majority. So if those folks who don't get climate or the carbon dividend because of legislation that Congress fails to pass, I'll turn out at the poll booth, man, we ain't ever gonna see half of y'all ever again. So I just don't know who it was for. Like, we're seeing so much, even just these first two pieces of news, so much, posturing, so much political posturing to nobody. Like, who are you performing for? I don't even think your own parties want this, dude. Like, y'all don't know your own party's values.
This is a non-committal vote. Just, there are other important issues, and the staff is going to vote on this meaningless resolution that enacts nothing and means nothing, just to like to say we did it.
Well, could we have not like gone around the room and been like, yay, nay, cool, okay, let's move on? Like, y'all had to write a whole resolution that literally means nothing. It's the equivalent of passing a note in class, and like your yearbook around and having everybody sign it. Just to find out, oh, okay, none of us know what our constituents want. Awesome. That's what that vote really tells me, that none of y'all know how to read the room. God forbid we go with what the... Anywho.
There's a real lack of leadership in Washington right now. And you can see that with all the retirements that are occurring throughout the Republican Party and the Democratic Party. some Congress.
And people who just aren't rerunning. I've noticed a big uptick in that in the last couple months. People who are announcing not just that they're retiring, but that, dude, I'm just not running again. I'm going to go back to being a lawyer or an accountant or whatever.
So 50 members of Congress are not running for reelection.
How many?
50. 8 senators and 42 members of the House.
Oh my God. I thought you said 15. 50? Oh my gravy. Okay, well, yeah, I wonder why. I guess at a certain point that $177,000 a year isn't worth it anymore, eh, gang? Oopsie daisy.
Katie, what's going on with Canada's carbon tax?
Yes, so Canada's carbon price has recently increased. So despite recent political drama in Canada surrounding the carbon price, rebates are rising as carbon prices increase to $80 per ton. So the federal carbon tax and its associated rebates rise as the national price on carbon emissions increases from $65 per ton to $80. So the federal carbon tax increase will cost drivers an extra 3.3 cents per liter at the pump, which I'm not personally a big fan of. I feel like there are other places that can take effect. So ever since Ottawa's fuel levy was introduced in 2019, the carbon tax has added 17.6 cents to the cost of a liter of gasoline. Again, that's not the place where I think that people should be paying for it. I think that it should be punishing, you know, people who are really making pollution and things like that instead of affecting drivers at the pump. I feel like there are better ways to do that. But I'm glad that the amount that they're putting into it is less than the checks that they're getting back from it. So that's, you know, that's great. For any of our Canadian listeners, y'all are enjoying the checks more than you're enjoying paying for gas. So that's actually a pretty good segue into moving on to our next piece of news. And this one hurts me particularly bad because I just found the silver lining like 2 weeks ago and then immediately had it crushed. So I guess I ruined that for all of us. Turns out that the earth did not heal during the lockdowns during the COVID-19 pandemic. This one actually hurts me the most. So Yale Environmental Review reported that the earth did not improve during the pandemic. So during the spring of 2020, many people were looking for silver linings during the pandemic, and they were saying, nature is healing. And you might even remember, I think that was a TikTok trend for a little while. Nature is healing. So everybody was like, oh man, the lockdown sucks, but at least the ozone hole is closing and river dolphins are returning to Venice and all that. And yeah, it turns out that's not the case. So I mean, go ahead.
I would just say it's, we saw what the earth would look like if we just took a step back for a while. Yeah. But we saw very superficial things happen. Like, it's nothing permanent is going to change.
Right.
Like, and I think came back, we're like right back to business.
Yeah, and that's exactly what a lot of these articles have raised the point of, like, yeah, it might have been great if it continued for like a decade, but we just doubled down as soon as we came back and we're back to where we were before. And so this article said, yet research has shown that nature is not healing. In fact, environmental degradation was the root cause of the pandemic itself. Our exposure to COVID-19 is a result of human land use change. Recent scientific studies suggest that protecting nature may be one of the most effective tools in order to avoid another pandemic, and nature-positive stimulus packages provide the opportunity to do exactly that. So I like that, at least though this news is pretty bad, they offer a solution for that, a nature-positive stimulus package. I think that's really, really interesting.
Yeah, you go tell Congress and let's see what they think of that.
Yeah, let's do a straw poll.
People bring it to the bathroom. And
exactly, yeah, we already know where that'll end up. On to our next piece of not great news. I think my favorite segment now, not great news. Overloading the grid. So recent reports from the Washington Post have said that with AI and EV technology booming in popularity, we have pushed America's power grid to the brink. And as utilities struggle to keep up, engineers are trying all kinds of crazy stuff like deflecting sunlight back into space. And I really wish I was kidding when I say that this is the stuff we're going for now, instead of just cutting back on oil and gas and building a couple more solar panels, we're trying to deflect the sun back at itself. So great minds are working on the grid right now. Zach, what are your thoughts?
I mean, I'm not a big fan of I'm not a big fan of atmospheric environmental or climate change mitigation through like putting chemicals and different things into the atmosphere or using solar panels in space to deflect sunlight. So I feel like that's a large change that could, if we lose control of that system, it can go the wrong way. Like, you'll get shows like Snowpiercer. It's like, oh, they tried to fight climate change. They put all these aerosols in the earth and it basically just stopped letting heat be trapped. And
well, doesn't it just sound like really something like Dr. Doofenshmirtz would do? My anti-sunlight deflector in it. Or like, it doesn't even sound, it sounds like something like a mad scientist would come up with, dude. Like, we're going to deflect the sun back at itself. Yeah, that'll teach it. like what? Like, let's just build a couple of solar panels, dude, and plant some trees. Y'all are wild, and that is just
there are. I'm a believer in ecological engineering, though, where we could help natural systems copy natural systems that occur and try and like engineer that, like putting in like fake coral reef systems to let coral reefs sort of grab onto these structures.
Oh yeah, I've heard of that. That is cool.
Or there's a thing where they put iron into the ocean, mm-hmm. and it like helps like plant growth and like plant growth burst and stuff. But you can't do that too close to where there's already plant growth. You need to get in more of a dead space area in the ocean, because most of the ocean is like a desert. Like, yeah. There's not a lot going on in a lot of the ocean because the sunlight doesn't reach the ground, so there's no plants.
Fair enough. Yeah.
There.
Plankton. Yeah, it's like the kelp farmers. I think that's really cool. Arlo, I think you've given me an idea for a science fiction novel, Zach. The year is 2070, and we have large panels that deflect the sunlight back into space until Russia hacks into the panels and begins wiping major American cities off the map with concentrated sunlight. So, okay, gang, if I just came up with a new book idea, do not take that from me. Do not steal.
What?
Copywriting it with GDPR all over it. However, if I did just write the plot to another book, please let me know, as I do not want to steal somebody else's material. But if I see a book out here in 6 months with that plot in it, I'm coming for you. So there you go. Another silver lining. I'm on a roll. Next piece of bad news, and I don't know how I'm going to put a spin on this one. Trump is leading Biden in swing states. Recent stats from the Wall Street Journal report that Trump is leading Biden in 6 of the 7 swing states by anywhere from 2 to 8 percentage points. Those states are Pennsylvania, Michigan, Arizona, Georgia, Nevada, and North Carolina. Zach, what are your thoughts?
I mean, I don't put a lot of stock into polls this early on.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be like every other week we're going to be like, oh, Trump leads here, Biden leads here. That's going to be redundant.
Mm-hmm.
But what I am intrigued by long term is ballot initiatives that are going on in different states.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think Arizona's has a abortion initiative to stop abortion from being, I think, a 6-week ban being implemented.
Yeah, there's a couple action groups here in Arkansas that are trying to get it on the ballot. Ladies and gentlemen, decline to sign that petition. Decline to sign it. We're not sponsored by anybody, but decline to sign that abortion initiative. Do not sign it. So yeah, you're exactly right, Zach.
Florida's going to have recreational marijuana and abortion access on as ballot initiatives, which could push Florida to the left, which is interesting. So a lot of interesting trends to keep track of.
Yeah, I think you're right in that a lot of these ballot measures are a better indicator of party platforms and where the general public sits generally and where voting blocks sit generally. And hopefully will be a wake-up call for Republicans, because I'm going to say it now. And hopefully me speaking some of these things out loud and for other people to hear will have some sort of effect on the universe. Every 2 years now, me and all my friends are like, red wave 2022, red wave 2020, red wave 2018. Boy, it ain't come yet. Been a tidal pool so far. Ain't been no wave, because Republicans are not advertising to young people. They're not reaching out and making themselves relevant. They're just waiting for old people to vote for. And by golly, we just can't keep waiting for red waves to happen if we're not doing anything to create the wave. So I'm just saying, the Republicans are going to have to learn how to play ball, or else you're never going to see another red wave ever again. So who knows? Maybe we'll see.
It's interesting to see the long-term effects, voter sentiment and polling, following Roe v. Wade, and how that's going to impact elections for what seems like the foreseeable future, because it seems to depress Republican turnout and push the Democratic turnout.
I'll tell you what happened. A bunch of Republicans are like, we did it. We defeated abortion. Let's go sit down and take a break. Like, there was no follow-up. Like, there was still so much work that needed to be done on state levels. And even if, like, we can talk about this practically for a minute. Y'all know that I'm very, 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 very pro-life. But for me, that means quality of life. And it does no good to be anti-abortion if mothers cannot have access to health care, if it costs an arm and a leg to take your child to the doctor, if you don't have transportation to go to the doctor, if you don't have paid child care or child leave or maternity leave, if there is no child care option available to you. It does no good to tell people, I'm pro-life, that's why I want you to have your baby, and then do nothing to support that baby when they get here. If that baby cannot go to the doctor, cannot eat 3 square meals a day at least, and I believe in fat babies, y'all, I'm pro-life, I want that baby fat. If that baby cannot go safely to school, go safely to church, go wherever that baby needs to go and get a checkup anytime they need it, what do y'all think? I mean, you know, if you're not going to make the economy better for people to actually be able to afford to have and then care for a child, yeah, a lot of people are going to support the abortion argument because that's a whole lot cheaper and quicker than 18 years and $200,000. So I think that if a lot of Republicans are going to say, hey, we oppose abortion because we're pro-life, okay, I want to see y'all writing bills to make my quality of life better so that I can have a child and support that child. And I think that's where Republicans are really going to need to get on board with this. Because this is going to be, for me, this is going to be the turning point of the Republican Party in the next 20 years. Again, another one of Katie's Nostradamus predictions. Republicans are going to have to embrace a holistic pro-life stance and innovative environmental technology if they expect to live whatsoever and ever win another election in the next 2 decades. So that's it. That's the writing on the wall. And I think that's why ballot initiatives like this, every time a pro-life measure gets absolutely dunked on during a voting season, dude, that's why. Because y'all aren't coming out with any more bills that are holistically pro-life. I could go on and on and on about this, but that's going to be one of those things that they're just going to have to address.
Very well said, too.
Our good news section. Okay, gang, you're allowed to come out from under your blankies and feel a little bit better now. Eat the last of your snacks. We're on good news highway now. I will say this is, again, we're not sponsored by anybody, but euronews.green is probably my favorite website for positive environmental news. I think I read, and maybe I'm completely making this up. Again, I hallucinated Charlotte the singer having her babies, so at this point I could just be hallucinating anything. But I think I read where the mission statement for euronews.green was that there's enough climate anxiety in the world, so they focus solely on positive climate news. So thank you, gang, for that.
That's nice.
Yeah.
Someone should.
I know. It's about time. So I think one of my personal favorite pieces of climate news is that employees at the Richmond Wildlife Center in Virginia decided to dress up in hyper-realistic fox masks while feeding baby foxes that were orphaned and that they're taking care of. So they have to do their best to act like mother foxes as they feed and care for orphaned fox kits. And in order to make it as natural as possible, they literally dress up as foxes in order to syringe and bottle feed these baby foxes. And I think that's so cute. And I want to find a baby fox so I can dress up like a fox immediately. No, I'm not a furry. I just want to play with a baby fox. So y'all tweet that when I run for president. Y'all let him remember this statement. Zach, how are we feeling about baby foxes?
That's great. That's adorable. I do love this in the contrast of how easily panda parents give up their children for anything.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, here's an apple. Oh, here's my child.
I'm a parent? Yeah, I forgot. Like a stick of bamboo. I don't have any kids. So, which if I think about it, sounds a little bit like how my parents thought about me. Just kidding. Mom and Dad, if you're listening, and you're probably not, I love you guys a lot. Please be fox parents instead of panda parents. So here's for fox babies. So this next one is quite literally a deal to die for. Womp womp. A French town is installing a canopy of solar panels over its cemetery that will distribute energy to local residents. Is that not crazy? If y'all don't put a solar panel above my grave, I ain't dying. Like that is the coolest thing I've ever heard. It's a church cemetery somewhere, and I'm not even going to attempt to pronounce this, in France. It's a vast peat bog north of an estuary. I don't know half those words. I'm American. But apparently the cemetery began expanding, and so a new one was created and they noticed the drop in sea level, and they were like, oh, we're going to have to worry about that with climate change, et cetera. So let's start taking a climate initiative within the cemetery. So that's pretty cool. But if the power goes out, do you blame ghosts? Like, what do you do at that point?
The zombies are coming.
Yeah, like, are the spirits? Yeah, like, are the spirits upset? Like, what does this mean? Like, if the power goes out. So
that's so nice. And then you get shade cool? when you visit a cemetery.
Right. And that's so cool. I love that so much. Like, and I feel like that's almost a great, I think, business strategy, because then you're going to have a lot of people who are like, well, I think I'm going to opt for being buried instead of cremated and hidden in my great niece's closet somewhere if I get to partake in this cool little program. I mean, heck, I'd buy a funeral plot right now if it meant I have a cool solar panel above it.
I've always been a fan of the cremation into like a tree.
Yeah, or like I saw ones that are like kind of like what you were talking about earlier with like coral reef balls. They make those, mm-hmm. but like they mix your ashes into the cement and then like drop them somewhere in the ocean for coral reefs to grow from.
Yeah, that's so awesome.
I love that like so much.
Supporting life in your afterlife is like the perfect way to end it.
I love that. And if my family doesn't just like compost me in my garden bed, I'm going to haunt. So that'll be my way of going. Don't mind the smell. But yeah, I love whenever people find like green. I feel like that's just a great legacy to leave behind. Like you get closure from that. Like I feel like that helps with a lot of the grief that comes from losing a loved one, knowing that quite literally their energy is helping people still, even in death. So I think that's an incredible legacy. That is wonderful.
Better than visiting a rock.
For sure. Yeah, for visiting a rock. I agree. All right, so the key takeaway that I want you guys to take from this episode is that it's easy for things to seem bleak, especially when, guess what? A lot of those bad news headlines are probably ones that you're seeing in multiple places. But there is also plenty of good news out there in the world if you know where to look for it. And even if there is a lot of bad news, that should not discourage you from wanting to make a difference in your community and state. Instead, it should motivate you, even if what you're doing only helps one person. Because one person may not mean the world, but it'll mean the world to one person.
Well put. Yeah, just get your news from broad and varied sources and make sure you're bringing in everything you can and you're not just getting from a single source.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, don't just go to the mainstream, folks. I mean, like what I was saying, Euronews.green. A lot of you probably haven't even heard of them, and yet they are responsible for most of this good news section. So, again, you're not going to see these good news headlines on Fox and WAPO and NYT because bad business sells. Bad news is good news for newspapers. So, yeah, be sure that when you see bad news, go look for good news, too.
Yeah.
Zach, do you want to leave? Go ahead. I didn't mean to cut you off.
I was going to action steps. And as usual, write your members of Congress. Tell them we would actually like to see them vote on something meaningful and substantial instead of posturing and really not doing much. So write your members of Congress. Let them know you want action on any topic you would like action on.
Let them know you exist.
Yeah.
Excellent. Yeah. And be sure to tweet us at GTP Radio Show and tell us some of your favorite pieces of good and bad news. It's hard to have a good or a favorite piece of bad news, but I mean, surprise me. I don't know, like somebody getting stabbed with a squirrel. I don't know. That happened once. If you've got a favorite piece of strange news, tweet us that. How many pups do you think Charlotte's going to have? Tweet us that. Our Twitter handle again is at GTP Radio Show, because they wouldn't let me do GTPR. When I find you, GTPR, you better count your days for stealing our Twitter handle.
And if you're a listener, you can email us with your thoughts, good, bad news, whatever you want to tell us. Our email is info@greenteapartyradio.com. Thanks for listening to Green Tea Party Radio. And a very special thank you to all our patrons. We couldn't do this without you. If you're interested in early access to episodes, as well as Green Tea Party Radio merch, check us out at greenteapartyradio.com. If you have feedback, tell us what's on your mind and follow us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok.
And just so you know, this is our passion project. We don't have any organizational sponsor. And again, Green Tea Party Radio is not representative of any of our employers, the Diocese of Little Rock, Catholic Climate Covenant, or any other folks that we may be affiliated with. We're building a movement because we want the world to know that conservatives, and particularly young conservatives, have really important things to say about climate change. So if you want to hear our show on your college radio station, email us at info@greenteapartyradio.com and give us the details about your campus and your campus radio station. That email again is info@greenteapartyradio.com. Thank you so much for listening.
Thanks for listening.
Come on, Charlotte. You're holding my serotonin together. Come on, Charlotte the Stingray. You can do it. I'm actually going to Google right now, okay? I'm going to spoil myself now that we're... Charlotte the Stingray update. Come on, news most recent. You already know. Google's like, yeah, we know. You're crazy. Okay, past hour, no updates of the past hour. Past 24 hours, no, but two baby goats were born somewhere in Flat Rock. I don't know where that is, but I'm happy for them. Let's see, past week. Okay, we got an update 2 days ago from the Hendersonville Times. I don't know what that is. Another ultrasound. Let's see. So we first found out she was pregnant February 13th. Okay. It's gotta be coming up. Like, so who knows? Maybe it'll be June or July and we're like, Charlotte, any day now. Charlotte, please, I made that bet 3 months ago. My spouse and kids left me, Charlotte. Charlotte, how many pups? So I did see this on here, though. When the pups are born, they will be moved to a separate nursing tank that the staff has prepared. I say, clearly Charlotte was able to figure it out on her own. Y'all let her keep doing her thing, okay? Stop.
Yeah.
Leave her alone.
I guess they're probably worried about the sharks.
Oh, that's true, too. Yeah, good point. Yeah.
I'm sure they'll keep Charlotte with them somewhere.
I hope so. Let that baby have her babies. She wanted them that bad that she just, like, imagined them. Like, yeah, let her have them. Like, man, thank God some people can't do that. Jeez. All right, let me hit stop record.